Beach Church. I want you guys to know that you are a blessing to us and that God truly loves you. You have a bulletin inside in front of you that hopefully you collected when you came in. I'd like to say hi to everybody online, by the way. I don't know which camera they're using. And the bulletin is located on our webpage. You can either swipe up or scroll down, I've been told. And you will find a button that says connection card and bulletin. The bulletin will contain everything that you need for this service, including lyrics, our sermon notes, and in the back, some events that are happening within the next month. So I encourage you to fill out the connection card. We'd like to recognize your presence here with us. And if there's any prayer that you may need, the staff, every Monday we will get together and we will make sure to pray for that, any of your prayer needs. So as let's stand up and worship this wonderful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this moment that you created. We are so grateful that you are here moving amongst us. Where your word is present, you are present. So we hold on to that promise. We love you and we adore you and we are so grateful for your grace and mercy and love that you just pour out to us. Thank you for calling us back home. Thank you for loving on us, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Say it again. Come on. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You used the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. Oh, remember your people. Remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Sing that again, come on. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Yeah, your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I say your grace is enough. Oh, I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Do you believe it? His grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for more time.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Children's church.
Children's message. Children's message.
Come on, little turkeys. Y'all know where to go. Thank you. All right. How are y'all doing this morning? Excited to be here? All right. Oh, sweet. Hey there. How are you? Okay. Well, good morning. I'm glad. You're not bad, yeah. Who's this guy? my name is Christian. Nice to meet you. You're so sweet. Okay. How many of y'all have a favorite toy? You have a favorite toy? Okay.
My favorite toy is Jasmine.
Is Jasmine. Oh, okay. Wow. Mine was Legos. When I was your age, I loved Legos. I loved building with Legos. I had a little Lego thing that me and my dad put together. Your regular school? Oh, really? You got Legos too? Yeah, I love Legos. You have a whole bunch? Yeah, I've got a good story about Legos. We could go all day about Legos. Y'all are on my topic right now. I could talk to y'all for hours about this. Oh boy, So anyway, my favorite toy is Legos. Like I was saying, I had a bunch of people over to the house, about this number, a little bit more of kids, and we're all playing in the room that I had, a little toy room that had stuff in there. My dad and I had this little Lego thing we had built, and this kid came in with his Matchbox car, and guess what he did? Boom, and he knocked that whole Lego thing down, and that was my favorite toy. That was my little thing that I used to play with and drive cars up to, like a little gas station. And have you ever had anybody break your favorite toy? Have you had somebody... Yeah, they stick together. That's what they do. Yeah. Hang on, get her a headset. No, I'm kidding. you're going to be a teacher one day, I bet. Yeah. So has anything ever bad ever happened? Have you had bad things happen and involved other people? Like someone saying something mean or hurt your feelings? Yeah. Well, that's not fun, is it? Let me show you something. There you go. You want one of these? We're going to talk about this guy today. His name is Joseph. Have y'all heard about Joseph? Who were we talking about a couple of weeks ago? Do you remember that guy's name? Jacob? Jacob was Joseph's dad. Yeah, now it's coming back to you. I told you you're going to teach. So, he had a nice coat, didn't he? Did y'all have a study on a nice coat? What was it called? Coat of many colors? Yeah. Well, guess what? He was proud of that coat that his dad gave him. His dad gave it to him because he was what? His favorite. He had 10 brothers that didn't like it. They were jealous, weren't they? So, you know what they did? They all got together, started talking. They thought they worked harder than their little brother. They didn't like that he got a coat, and they didn't. So they were angry with him. They were so jealous, they threw him in a pit. That was mean, wasn't it? And then they sold him to another country. That was very, very wrong and sinful. In our Bible study today in Genesis 45, Joseph sees his brother again, the same ones that did this to him. Whoa. But now guess what? This guy right here, he's not the guy in the coat of many colors anymore. He's not this guy. Guess who he is? Look on the page. He's this guy. Well, guess what this guy is? He's a leader now. He's in charge. It's 20 years later, and now they don't even recognize him. So he's a powerful leader in Egypt. His brothers came needing food. There was a famine in the land, and they needed to eat. So when Joseph sees them, guess what he does? He cries. That's his family. He misses them. There was a separation there, and he missed them. So he cried out loud. Everybody heard it. And then he says something very surprising. And this is in our scripture. It says, "And Joseph said, 'Do not be distressed,' to his brothers. 'God sent me before you to preserve life.'" He forgave them. You know what he did later? He hugged them. He tells them that he loves them. It's a little more descriptive than that, but we won't get into that. Maybe later. Joseph could have been very angry. He could have paid them back. But instead, guess what he did? He forgave them. You know why? Because God was using everything, even the sad and hard stuff, to save many people. He gave food to his family so that the kingdom of Israel could carry on. So listen to this. Sometimes we hurt feelings by our words or actions, sometimes on purpose. Other times we might not even know that we did something to hurt someone's feelings, right? People can get angry just about anything, really, because they wanted you to do something the way they wanted you to do it. But sometimes we don't forgive people who hurt us, do we? We sometimes want to stay angry, or we want to get even with those people, even in subtle ways, like Joseph's brothers did, which was quite subtle. When we try to get even and don't forgive, you know what that is? That's sin. So, but God sent someone greater than Joseph. Do you know who that is? To forgive us? I think you know. You can say it. Jesus. Yes. That's right. Jesus was sinned against too. People hurt him, made fun of him, and even put him on a cross because he didn't do everything the way they wanted him to. But from the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Jesus forgave his enemies. Jesus forgives you. He takes away your sin, and because Jesus forgives you, he helps you forgive others too. So, when something bad happens, when someone hurts your feelings, what can you do? Yeah, you will, but you can also forgive them. God is with you, and even in the hard things, Jesus forgives you completely. Yeah, we don't have to, because he forgave us. We can show mercy, can't we? Jesus helps you forgive others. God can take something sad, like you were saying, and make something good come from it, just like Joseph did. Can we pray real quick? Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for being with us when things hurt. Help us forgive others like Joseph did, and trust that you bring good out of the hard things. Amen. Give each other a hug like they did. Hey, y'all hugged each other last time. Somebody's been mean to somebody. You can hug each other. It's okay. You don't know her? Oh, there you go. There's one. All right. Here you go. Thank y'all. Take your little...
All right, let's rise and worship some more. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. Been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and life.
His mercy reigns, an unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secured. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Wow. One thing I love about that that song, it's always relevant, isn't it? It's good today as it was when it was written. Well, you can be seated. I'm Christian Bolden, and I'm humbled and blessed to be your director of missions here at Hope on the Beach Church. We had a wonderful morning over at Inlet, and I know they had a wonderful morning over at Edwaline. I just think it's a blessing to be separate in the morning and come together, much like this story here, but we're not jaded at each other like the story. It's good to experience Hope on the Beach in different services, and this is always one of my favorite to come to as well, even though I don't get to come as often as I'd like, but I'm glad to be here today. As we continue the series, Faith and Family, today Joseph forgives his brothers in Genesis 45, but before we dive in, let's do a recap for context to get to where we are now. Much like last time I recapped about this dysfunctional family, I believe it reads still like a Netflix episode list. This family, like many, has some major problems, right? In Genesis 37 through 38, if these were episodes, it would be like Joseph is the favorite son of Jacob. Now, Jacob didn't learn the lesson about that favoritism stuff, did he? He's now doing it himself. He gives his son, Joseph, a coat of many colors. His son's very proud of it, shows it to his 10 brothers. Let me give you a little bit of a hint if you're the youngest person in the family. The last thing you want to do is go out and show your 10 older brothers, A, one of two things, that you have something your dad gave you and you're the favorite. And then as we get in here, as Joseph has the prophetic dreams, he shares with them that he's going to rule over them. Those are two red flags that's going to probably make your older brothers mad. It actually happened, didn't it? But he pops off to those brothers about those dreams. They increasingly got jealous and hatreds toward him. His brothers then threw him into a pit. They sell him into slave traders for 20 shekels of silver. They tell their father Jacob their brother Joseph is dead. The next episode in Genesis 39 says he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. So Joseph still has God's favor. Joseph serves as a slave in Egypt and has a favor from God. He ends up as the leader of Potiphar's house. But just like on Netflix, here we have some drama. Potiphar's wife lies about Joseph after advances that he rejects, and then he's thrown in jail. But God's presence, again, with him, is with him in prison. He becomes a trusted manager there in prison, even though he's incarcerated. So next in Genesis 40 through 41, Joseph interprets dreams again. He still has this gift. First to a cupbearer Later on, the cupbearer remembers him, and he interprets the dreams to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh appoints Joseph as the second in command of all of Egypt. Because of these dreams that he interprets for Pharaoh, he knows that a shortage, a famine is coming, and he starts storing up grain. The famine arrives, and people come from everywhere to buy food. Then we see in Genesis 42 through 44, during this famine, Jacob, his father, is in Canaan, hears about this food in Egypt, and he sends his brothers to buy grain from Egypt. They don't know Joseph is in charge, and they don't recognize him. It's 20-something years later. Joseph tests these brothers a few times, and through this test, it reveals that his brothers have a changed heart. He sends them home with food for that family, which is Israel, and he requests that the money be stuffed back into the bags with the grain. So when they open it up, they're all puzzled. There's a request that he has for them to come back. And they remember it, and they head back to Egypt to face Joseph. It's where we find ourselves in Genesis 45. Let us read in verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I, your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." So let's look at that scene for a moment. Let's just take it all in. Let's look at the room. We got the context through the highlights of the stories, but now we're in this room, right? So what do we see? We see shock. We see assumptions. We see sin revealed. Fear of judgment. The initial shock as Joseph begins to reveal in the conversation who he really is. Then Joseph weeps, not because of anger. He's crying out because of years of separation, sins, and wounds. It all comes to a head, to a breaking point. Joseph weeps over this pain and separation uncontrollably. This pain of how he has lived and been separated from his family. But to his brothers, different scene, right? The shock is fear. They're froze. They're paralyzed. It overcame them. In the moment, it revealed to the brothers who they're asking for help. A brother they discarded. Literally. So number one, sin and guilt make us fearful. Joseph's brothers stand exposed in this. They're paralyzed, no excuses, no hiding. Their guilt makes them tremble. They're paralyzed and they're petrified in their fear and in their sin. They're afraid. They expect payback, and rightly so, they expect justice. Yet Joseph invites them near. A, God loves us even in our sin. Just as Joseph looked upon his brothers, men who betrayed them, lied about him, and left him for dead, yet he still loved them. Just as God looks upon us with his mercy, he does not ask for us to clean ourselves up first. He does not wait until we prove we are worthy. He loves us in every moment of our guilt, fear, and brokenness, right? Joseph's tears show a heart moved by compassion, not revenge. In a far greater way at the cross, Christ shows a love that moves toward sinners, not away from them. This is a heart of God revealed. Mercy given before we ever asked for it. Grace poured out while we were helpless. A good reflection of this is in Romans 5:8 in your notes. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And just like Joseph asking them to come near, B, he desires us to come close to him. Joseph says to his terrified brothers, come near me, please. He does not push them away. He draws them in. He invites them to closeness, to make them feel safe, to a restored fellowship. This is the same invitation God gives us. Even when our sin makes us want to hide, like Adam in the garden, and Joseph's brothers here shrinking, paralyzed, shock and fear, God calls us near. In Christ, he removes every barrier that keeps us distant, guilt, shame, fear, condemnation. The God who sees your sin in the same God is the same God who says, come near, I want you close. Which brings us to our memory verse. Let's all read this one together. Come to me, all who labor are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Christ himself calls the guilty, the weary, the broken to draw near to him. So let's look inside ourselves for a second. Where does fear and shame keep you at a distance from God? What are you still holding on to? What am I still holding on to? What are the things that separate us? See, sin separates us. Guilt and fear can paralyze us, close our mouths, and drive us into hiding. But Christ invites sinners before they fix themselves, before they clean themselves up or try to make themselves look better to man. We are filthy, stained rags in our own sin. But again, he loves us first, the way we are, just as we are, because his grace was there first. So when guilt or fear show up, draw near to Christ. He does not send you away. He welcomes you. The enemy will use guilt at times to keep you separated from God. But the Holy Spirit uses conviction in your heart to draw you near. Usually guilt is where? In your head. It will often torment you and trouble you. Conviction, though, is in your heart. It's loving. It's caring. It's correction. So next, as Joseph continues to speak to his brothers with mercy, let us read beginning in verse 5. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord to all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. And number two, Joseph recognizes what? God's favor and purpose in his life. He has no bitterness or grudge towards God. Therefore, none of this flows to his brothers either. Joseph sees God's hand, even in the suffering and the injustice, he realizes he was used to save the nation of Israel. In this moment in Scripture, there is a foreshadowing also to A, God sending Jesus to redeem us. Before I read this, I always remember Ray telling me this story when I started to preach. He said, if you ever get stuck, just know you got John 3:16. So, if Ray starts to watch this, I'm not stuck, brother. This is part of the message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. B, we have been given unconditional grace through Christ. In Christ, God gives us true unconditional grace. Grace that comes without preconditions, without prerequisites, without wanting us to fix ourselves. Christ does not say, once you prove yourself worthy, then I'll forgive you. He forgives us in his nature because it's his nature to be merciful. Because his work on the cross has already secured forgiveness fully and finally. He said 2,000 years ago, it is finished. Do you believe it? Do you believe it's finished? You see, grace is not a cooperation between us and God. There's no cooperation between us and him and saying, you know, I'm helping you here. Grace is not God helping. Grace is not God helping us earn favor. Grace is God giving us everything we could not earn. And see, Joseph extends that same grace to his brothers. He recognizes God's hand. And then he takes and extends that same grace that he sees and gives it to his brothers. Joseph in this sees that life as a divine arrangement through which God preserved the life, the kingdom of Israel. Because Joseph has received grace from God, he becomes a conduit of the same grace to others. And this is precisely how Christ's grace should flow in us in the church today. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We show mercy because it was first used on you and me. We extend compassion because Christ first poured that compassion into us. So this is what we should mirror. Let's read in verse 9. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Israel. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children, your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all you have, there I will provide for you. For there you are five years of famine to come, so that you and your household and that all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that this is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all the honor of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. D, if you notice something, Joseph sends those brothers, the same brothers that did all this to him, that hurt him, that sold him into slavery. He trusted now his brothers to share the story. Joseph entrusted these same brothers that betrayed him with a mission to carry the message of the family restored and how God used him to provide food to preserve Israel. Will you be trusted also? Forgiven people are sent, not sidelined. God uses his people, even with their past failures, for his purpose. In E, Christ has trusted us to share his story. Let us read. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. There's two sides of this coin. This is the second side. Tell his story. Make disciples. The Great Commission. The first side of the coin is the Great Commandment. We've been talking about that Great Commandment all through this message. It's the first part. Love God, love people. Even if they're undeserving. The whole story encompasses these two sides, you see. We believe in Jesus and we're okay with the love God, love people, and we come and we do that. But if you love God, love people, and you believe, you're going to be compelled to share the second side of the coin. Go make disciples of all nations. Like Joseph, we're sent, not because of our perfection, but because of his forgiveness. Our past mistakes do not disqualify us. Jesus entrusts us with his mission as forgiven sinners, equipping us with his word, his spirit, and his presence. Do you believe God can use you? Regardless of your past, will you tell his story right now when you leave here? Don't get trapped in feeling unworthy, disqualified, or afraid of, to speak of Christ. Jesus sends forgiven sinners, not perfect saints. He's not looking for titles or degrees. He's looking for broken people, vessels, people like me and you, to proclaim his salvation. How do we do this? We share Christ simply, over a cup of coffee or at a sideline of a peewee football game. Tell what he's done to anyone who wants to hear. You don't need a prayer tent or a pulpit or a worship service like this. Talk to people at Dollar General or at a restaurant. If they're stopping and listening what you're saying, he called them. It's grace. You're merely participating in the process, experiencing the same grace that he saved you with. It's a wonderful opportunity. Merely trust that he's with you. Just be present and acknowledge that he is too. This brings me to a phone conversation I was on the phone with this weekend. An old retired pastor. This is what we would all consider here a old country pastor, even though for 25 plus years he preached 3 sermons, handwritten, every one of them, to 3 services to 1,100 to 1,500 people every Sunday. And what do I hear from him when I'm talking to him? He just wants to share. He's not done. He doesn't want to be done. He's not physically capable anymore of doing this. And we start talking, and he says, I just share to him now on a park bench, anyone that'll listen. He shares on a Facebook page a post that's about his catch of the day. Anything that he can do just to still be used. And as we started talking, as we finished up talking and everything, he said to me this, and I'll never forget it. He said, you know, discipleship doesn't happen from the pulpit. It happens one-on-one. And I said to my father-in-law, I said, well, Mr. Denson, you've been promoted. You're now on the park bench, and you're now doing one-on-one. You're discipling now. Praise the Lord. And he began to weep. And we had a moment. And I'll never forget it. As we continue this story in the outline, verse 14. Then he fell upon his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. What is this picture of? This is a picture of reconciliation. Dignity is gone. Titles and positions, gone. This is not just word. This is snot and tears. I'm a man, and this is uncomfortable to me. I don't want to embrace men like this. Uncomfortable reading it, even, when you really look into it. But what's going on? Hearts are being healed. A family relationship's restored. Deliverance from guilt and all the snot and tears. Guilt, sin, and judgment away. Reconciliation. Abundant love. And 3, just as Joseph affirms his forgiveness to all his brothers, God, in A, has given and affirms his forgiveness of all our sins. As Joseph embraces his brothers, God has forgiven us completely in Christ. Our sins are taken away, and God restores our relationships with him. Forgiveness is not only practiced here in words. It is experienced in love. A love so powerful, an experience so great, it will be a glorious homecoming awaiting all who are saved. Joseph's reunion with his family foreshadows the eternal reunion we have with God and with the saints in heaven, with the choir singing. Salvation leads to restoration, joy, fellowship with God forever. All the pain and all the separation will end. That's a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us just take a moment in that. It's really a lot to consider, isn't it? For all eternity. You got to... All eternity. It's either with him or without him. Well, if you know me, I like to simplify. And to sum all this up, Jesus forgave his guilty brothers. Christ forgives us while we are still sinners. Joseph's story isn't really about Joseph's perseverance or positions or titles gained. It's all about God's mercy and grace. Joseph didn't forgive because his brothers deserved it. He forgave because God had been gracious to him and realized he was being used by God. Joseph's brothers meant evil. They expected wrath. Joseph suffered injustice, but gave an embrace. God was faithful through it all, and transformation happened. Your life is held in those same faithful and gracious hands. The same is waiting for you in Christ. Will you allow him to transform you also? This whole story points to Christ, the one who was betrayed, wounded, sold, abandoned, yet used, that this very suffering would save the world. Again, a glorious homecoming awaits all who are saved. I got a couple of questions before I end with you today. Do you really believe in God's forgiveness through Christ? Do you know without Christ we remain alienated from each other and separated from God forever? But through Jesus, all who believe are reconciled and welcomed into God's eternity forever. If you have two yeses, you can rest in God's forgiveness today and live as one restored in Christ. But it will move you to sharing his mercy with others and being used to share his story with grace. Let us pray. Father, thank you for mercy and grace. Show us, like you did in Joseph and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Help us to trust your plan to forgive as we have been forgiven. Show us where to share your love with others. Lord, help us trust your purposes in our lives. And even when we cannot see the whole picture, guide our hearts to rest in your promises and live in faith and humility. May your grace flow through us as broken vessels to those around us. We pray in the words your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Christian. That was a great message. I know for myself, I spent a lot of years not truly believing that I was forgiven. So thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We now have an opportunity to continue our worship through receiving our offering. And I'd like to bring attention to your bulletin. In there is an envelope. You can place your connection card and your offering in said envelope. There are instructions if you want to give online. And if you're watching us online, you can hit that little click button, the give button, right at the top of the page. I'd like to bring attention to the connection card as well. In the back, this is how you communicate with us. We have some things going on, and I'll go through those slowly. On December 2nd at 10:30, we are decorating the church for Christmas, and we can use all the able bodies that we can get. And there's lunch served. So, and I'm a foodie, so I'll make sure it's good food. On December 7th, we have the Family Christmas Countdown, and it's a family event for our kids. It starts at 9:30 right here with breakfast. So we're trying to entice you with food, but we truly would like you to bring your kids And let's just have a fantastic time with our families. And lastly, we do have the Women's Advent Dinner. I led worship for that last year, and it's absolutely fantastic. If you've never attended, ladies, please just fill it out in the back of the connection card and let us know. And finally, there is where you fill out the prayers. And we really encourage you that if you do have any prayers that you need, fill it out. Let us pray and join you in your prayer. Finally, you can bring your offerings up and bring them, put them on the plates.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you do. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. Oh, if I have you, I have enough. Your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it.
Heavenly Father, thank you for being faithful to this ministry and bringing us people that want to partner with us. We cherish them. We cherish all who join us in worshiping you, the only one that should be worshiped. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Let's rise and worship a little bit.
He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
We are his portion.
We are his portion. He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sweet kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
So receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. See you next week. God bless.